Go home. It's made for you. I was made by you. And without you, I can't have full communion. He said the same thing about you tonight. Without you, he can't have full communion. He desires your fellowship. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back here tonight. We certainly did enjoy our brother David Gadman once again on the weekend. And, you know, there's just a lot of real rich nuggets there. You know, one of the things that Brother David had mentioned is something that they'd done at his own church, I guess, which was to make a little box. We put in names of different ones in the church and pull them out. Pull them out each day and pray for the one that you pulled out. Of course, you don't have to limit it to one, and you don't have to have the slip of paper, but sometimes some mechanics will go a long ways, you know. Amen. Right? Sometimes, you know, we start in the natural, and God will meet us in the supernatural. So, you know, a habit doesn't know if it's good or bad. A habit's just a habit, right? So we can get in the habit of doing those things, right? Amen. Blessed be his name. I'd like to read from three places in the scripture this evening. Genesis 11, we'll read verses 5 and 6. We'll read Psalm 86 and John 17, verse 21. Excuse me. Genesis chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. Oh, God didn't do that? The children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one. That's a good thing, right? Aren't we all supposed to be one? And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? There's going to come a time when we do all have one language, but we'll be one in a different way. The people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them. Look at that, in the natural. Nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Psalm 86, verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. John 17, verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, we approach you tonight, Lord, not with anything in our own thinking, Lord, not with our own ideas, but we come, Lord, we've spoke your word, we've sang the Psalms of Zion, we've confessed our sins. We've asked for forgiveness. And, now, Lord, it's our desire that you'd minister to each and every heart, that you'd speak to us the portion of the living word that we need to face the day that we're living in. Father, we love you, and our confidence is in you completely. And, Lord, we're so thankful that you've given us one another. That's a further expression of your love towards us. And so, Lord, we thank you for the one that's sitting next to us on either side tonight and front and back. And just ask that your blessings would be upon each and every one. Feed each one according to their need, Lord. And, Father, we surely will give you the praise and honor and glory. Be with those that are afflicted, those that couldn't be here, Lord, and strengthen them, Lord, and bring them back, we pray. And, Father, we'll surely give you all praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Before you're seated, just shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. I'm glad you're here. Bless you. Glad you're here. Bless you. Well, hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm going to title the thought. It may sound a little odd, but I'm going to title it tonight, The United Bride Body in Christ. Not of Christ, but in Christ. The United Bride Body in Christ. So we know that we're living in a uniting time. And we know that there are people that are uniting together around many things. And the idea of uniting is not new, and it's actually not a hard thing to unite. It just depends on what we're uniting around. So we saw in Genesis that man united together in the days of Noah and his sons after the flood to build a tower that reached into the heavens. And perhaps the man was united together on this great endeavor, and maybe man had the great idea that he could just slip up there, you know, once a week or once a month or you know, Easter or Thanksgiving and commune with God and, you know, get cleaned up, get religious, and then come on down and live the rest of the time as they would. So they'll leave him up there, and they'll come down here, and they're going to build a house for him without consulting him, of course. And what we want to notice is that the idea of unity, it wasn't new then, and it's not new now. And it's not a bad idea. It's not a wrong idea. Satan always takes the things of God and puts just a little twist on it in order to serve his own purposes. So he takes things that are right and are good and deviates them, modifies them so that it's no longer something that God is working through. So the idea of being united together, it sounded good, of course, and it was one world order, perhaps, at that time under one God, and it's, you know, what's wrong with that? That sounds good, right? But the way that they went about it was under the headship of man and not under the headship of God. And God never did, as far as we know, God never did tell them to build a tower. This was man's thinking, man's idea, and it came from the imagination of man. Now, when man comes together in unity, if there's nothing that he would imagine that can't come to pass, how about if the church came together in faith? So even still, we see that there was power in man uniting for the same purpose. And the Lord said, you know, the people is one, and they all have one language, and this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. So he confounded the languages, and he sent men off in different directions, and now they're speaking different languages, and they can no longer understand one another. And he broke up that unity because it was a political unity and not a Holy Ghost-led unity. So we find the same conditions are on the earth again in our day, where man is once again trying to build a new world order or a one world order, one world religion where they combine everything together, one world government that's ruling over all the nations, and it's just a perversion of the millennium. Because that describes the millennium. There'll be one religion, there'll be one God, there'll be one government ruling over the nations. So it's a perversion of what God had in mind. From the message United Under One Head, Brother Branham says, "My loving friends, may I say this to you tonight? God wants us one, but he wants us one not under the foolishness of manhead, but he wants us one united under the holy Godhead, united as one person, one man, one woman, one church, one people, one view, one purpose, one motive, one objective, and that's Jesus Christ. One thing to serve him. One love, the love of God. One brotherhood, the brotherhood of man. One fellowship of the Holy Ghost. Then we're united." He says that's where God is building this day, regardless of what the devil does. He's building a tower, and that tower is made out of the united people, made out of the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterians, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Pilgrim Holiness. It's made out of all the born-again people that's got the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their heart, filled that little apartment, and later on he calls it a compartment, and looked straight to God for deliverance. He says, paragraph 22, he says, "Now the reason that little compartment is in your heart, God molded you that way, that was for a purpose. That little place in your heart, all the rest of your body belonged to you, but that heart belongs to God. God made himself a little room in there. Isn't that wonderful? God made himself a little room in there so he could set it in the controlling tower that he could guide you. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, if we would let him be the pilot and the Holy Ghost, the co-pilot, we would be guided over the sea of life. He is the control room. But what did man do? He listened to his fellow man and accepted the devil in there. And the devil come into it and guides him to the things that he can see. God guides him to the things that he said. No wonder people can't believe in divine healing with the devil sitting up there saying, don't you believe it? Yes, sir, Mr. Devil, that's right. But God sets in the heart and makes his word real to everyone that believes it. Some of you are going to have to join in here just a little bit more. Some of you, it wouldn't hurt if you moved forward. Augie, you got blessed here last Sunday night. You ought to move up. Come on up. Come on down. I feel the pull. But God sets in the heart, and he makes his word real to everyone that believes it. Isn't that wonderful? He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of his word, and he'll make it real to everyone that believes it. Though it may not come to pass, maybe they can't do it, but they believe it anyhow because God said so. Amen. So the Lord Jesus has been building a body on the earth for 2,000 years now. And he alone is the builder. How many can say amen to that? He builds that mystical body by revealing himself in his word, by his spirit, to those that the Father has called and has drawn to him. And he places each member into that body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he told us how that body would be built, and he told us how it would be made up in each age, what it would consist of, how it would operate. And the purpose of that body is so that he can finish the work through that body and so that he can have the preeminence in that body as it's brought to maturity and as he steps into it in a word coming of Christ. Are you with me tonight? He has designed this body. Who's going to criticize him? He's designed it so that it will be one, united not by politics, but by the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I want to just read this quickly. Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's our number one priority, friends. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it's Satan's job to try to keep that from taking place. But we win, he loses. There's one body and one spirit, even as ye are all called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it? But he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, so these are the gifts that he gave. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And here's why he gave them: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all, somebody say all. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man or complete, mature, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Isn't that wonderful? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We just want to lay this foundation before we move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, And all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I am not the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? It'd be a pretty scary body if the whole body was an eye. I used to have nightmares over those kind of bodies. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members. God has set the members. God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. Amen. I want you to say tonight, God set me in the body as it pleased him. It'll make you happy too. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. So we don't join ourselves to this body. Modern Christendom, that's how they do it, but that's not the body of Christ. We don't join ourselves to this body. The only way into this body is for you to die out to yourself and then be birthed by Christ the Word as he baptizes you into his body. Then he places you in there. Once you're in that body, you are no longer your own, but you belong to him. You have rights as a human being. All of us have rights here tonight, but you forfeit those rights and you become subject to the will of God, which is his word. You submit yourself to his body and you take directions from his body. And he saw fit to send portions of himself unto men that he has chosen. And gifts and callings are without repentance. And he leads and guides and edifies and teaches the rest of the body through the operation of these ministering gifts, which is actually a part of himself. And he makes sure that the body will recognize those gifts and will be subject to those offices by placing his Spirit in each and every one of us, so that we are all responding to one Spirit. And when we are all of one Spirit, then we are all of one motive, and we are all of one objective, and we are all serving one Lord. His body members, his sheep, will hear and know his voice. It's not just God in the pulpit, it's God in the whole body. But it is God in the pulpit too. Well, now let's contrast this with how Satan builds his body that he works through, and we'll call it the Laodicean church, because that's what it is. The Laodicean church emphasizes their own rights. That's what Laodicea means, people's rights. They emphasize their own rights over the rights of the body as a whole. And they will not put the body before their individual needs and their individual desires. They will join the Laodicean church by deciding whether or not to be a part of it. And they do so on their own terms. And they're free to come and go, be part of this body, leave the body, be part of the body, leave the body. It just, have it your way. And the body is directed and ruled by politics, because the Holy Spirit's been put out of the church. He's been knocking, trying to get back in with Pentecost, but they don't want him in the church. So the people in the Laodicean church, they have a say in everything that takes place in the body. But the body is relying on reasoning, and the body is relying on self-fulfillment versus the leading of the Holy Spirit, which they have put out of the body. So they decide what the different parts of the body are. They decide who it is that takes those roles. They decide by committee what they believe. They decide how things should be done. And they are free to make changes at any time and for any reason. And they can pull people in and out of positions as long as the majority agrees. And sometimes even when only a few that have the greatest influence agree. That's politics. And since that church is ruled by politics, there's no standard. And the wind blows this way, and the wind blows that way, and the body sways this way, and the body sways that way. The Nazarene church was founded on holiness. The Nazarene church took a Nazarite vow. I challenge you to find holiness in the Nazarene church. I mean, wouldn't you be ashamed to call yourself something that you're not? But the wind blows, and it's okay. So the standard is the church now and not the Word. And they've come under the headship of man and not the headship of the Holy Spirit. And yet they think that they're free. And they think that they are right. There's a way that seems right. And they have everything in control, and they believe they have everything they have need of. That's what they say. They have a voice. But it's not the voice of the great shepherd. And he says to them, you say you're rich. You say you're increased with goods. You say you have need of nothing. But you don't know that you're naked and wretched and poor and blind. So it's quite a contrast from the body of Christ. When God builds his body, he places in his body the members of his own choosing. You don't get to join this. The only way you can be part of it is if he chose you to be part of it. And if he chose you to be part of it, he's going to put you in the body. How many can say amen to that? When did he choose them? Before the foundation of the world. Where were they at? In him. And then he baptizes each one into the body and makes himself real to each one. So we coach you and we tell you about him. We had to have a prophet come in this age because we didn't know which Jesus we were worshiping. We had to have a prophet come today and introduce us to the Jesus of the Bible that we left 2,000 years ago and accepted creeds and dogmas and different things. So we first have to portray the true Jesus of the Bible to people, but it's up to you to make your choice. It's up to you to make your decision. It's up to you to respond to the call when he calls you. It's up to you to decide whether or not you're going to die out. Amen. It's up to you to believe whether or not he'll fill you with his life, birth you and fill you with his Spirit. But once he does that, it's over for you. Amen. I know it's Wednesday night, but a couple more amens. This is the truth. It'll help you. You say, well, I've heard this before. Well, let's just, may it become so real tonight. Hallelujah. So when God builds his body, he does so he chooses members of his own choosing. He baptizes them in the Holy Ghost, then he comes in to dwell in them. He places each one in the local church, and he leads each one to the right church, which is why we pray over our church, right? And he places them where they belong, and because that's where they're going to be perfected. It's not that this church is better than that one, it's this church is the right one for you. He leads them to the pastor that's ordained to lead that local portion of the body of Christ, which is his choosing. And we all start out initially as individual ingredients. Let's say Brother Verlin is salt, and let's say that Brother Dutch is flour, and Brother Augie, you're baking soda. Is that okay? And this young brother here is water. Is that all right? And we can talk about, wow, I love salt. Salt, you're awesome, salt. And we can talk about, how great thou art. And how much we love salt. And how we don't want to live without salt. But he can't stay salt. We can talk about baking soda and how we like it sometimes when it's mixed with something else. How about vanilla? Anybody ever done a dumb thing like I did? You probably know what I'm going to say, right? Doesn't it smell good? Yeah. Oh, man, that's the greatest smell on earth. So it's got to taste good too then, right? Anybody ever tasted it? You think, what in the world? That's poison. How could something that tastes so nasty smell so good? Because it's good in its small measure. You can only take so much vanilla. You know, oh, well, a little is good, so a lot must be better. Wrong answer. And it's the same way with the body of Christ. God knows just how much to put together. He knows just how what ingredients to bring together. And then, so we can look at each ingredient and we can focus on the qualities of each ingredient, and that's fine. But we don't remain individual ingredients. You see, God places you into the body. He places you into your position by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then he takes each one of us and mashes us, I mean, blends us together with each other. Right? And we got to learn how to fit together. And he mixes us together under pressure. Right? And he forms us into this ball of dough. Right? And at that point, I can't tell you where the salt is. At that point, I can't point out the baking soda. At that point, I can't tell you where the water is or where the flour is. All I can tell you is that they're one. It's one lump. That's what we see is one lump. And then that lump is placed in an oven of trials and afflictions and pressures. And that one lump goes through it together, and that one lump rises together, and that one lump stays together through it all. And then it's taken from the oven, and it brings forth the most wonderful aroma as a result of its trials. And it is now hopelessly mixed together. One, each and everyone has lost their own identity. They can't go back to what they were if they tried. They don't exist by themselves anymore. They've taken on a new identity. They're part of the bread of life. Amen. They've lost their own identity. Each one becomes what makes up the bread of life, and each one is given power as a result. We take on the identity of Christ the Word, the identity that he foreknew that we would have in this hour. And then we are united in purpose, and we can never be what we used to be ever again. I can still taste the salt, right? But I, you know, some things I can't even taste, but yet they're in there. And if you took them out, I'd notice it. Even though I can't taste it, it's important. So just as a man and a woman, they come together when they're married and they say for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer. They're not in this. It's not a trial basis. They're not saying, well, the Lord led me to, you know, to marry you until things go wrong. Right? It's amazing. Did the Lord lead you or didn't he? For better or for worse, so is it with the body of Christ. Once you're part of that body, you can't not be. You can't go out in the world. You might stumble for a season. You might cool off for a season, but you won't stay there because you're part of a loaf. You're part of a body. So what we need to recognize is that God will have a body that is spiritually connected and is in complete and total unity on the earth in this last day. He will have it. He's been building it for 2,000 years, and it's going to be so unified in this last day that he's going to step in it. Because it will not resist him. It will be united in an invisible union. We've seen lots of visible unions. Some say come here, some say join this, some say join that. This is an invisible union, but there will be fruits to show that indeed they are united. They will match the word in every detail. And another book of Acts will be written through them. Oh, friends, don't get weary. The greatest time is yet to come. Just around the corner. There had to be some mixing and there had to be, you know, some heating. There had to be all kinds of things for us to go through and some rising and maturing. But there's a uniting time coming as well where God will step into that body completely. And then watch the fireworks then. So the world is putting forth their version of it right now, but it's a perversion of what Jesus Christ is building for himself and to his own specifications according to the word. So there won't be any daylight, Brother Branham says, between the ministers in this body as the headstone unites with the body. They have to be so close. Otherwise, the headstone won't fit. Amen. Now, before, you know, it's doubt. I just want to point out doubt here tonight. Well, you know, we don't want to put too much confidence in men. Who's talking about men? We're talking about what God's doing. He said he's going to do it. He's either going to do it or he isn't going to do it. So our confidence is in him. So that's what allows us to not worry about the man. Or worry about one another. Well, I don't understand what you're doing there, Lord, but you're doing it. Friends, half the time we don't even know what he's doing with us. Sometimes we do things that don't even make sense to ourselves, but we know the Lord led us to do it. Our confidence is in him tonight. So each local body will be united, and each local body will be fulfilling their predestinated purpose here on the earth. And when the last one, the last member, is placed in that body, and the body comes to a complete and total surrender to his will, that body will be taken off the earth. And that body will be joined with portions of the body from all the other church ages. Somebody say praise the Lord. United under one head. Brother Branham says, we are united then as one. We won't fuss no more then. We won't argue no more then. We'll act like men. We'll dress like men. We'll dress like women, if you're a woman. It's a shame that you even have to qualify that, isn't it? Sons and daughters of God, our character, our conduct, our faith will prove. When God says anything, we'll say amen to it. If the Bible says for us to do certain things, we'll do it. We won't argue back. We'll just go and do it. That's what God wants us united under. Oh, how we ought to act in this present day, he says. He goes on to say, he says, God's cutting them out. God is cutting them out. God is cutting them out of the Methodist. Is there a Methodist here tonight? Somebody that was a Methodist? No? Baptist. Presbyterian. Where's Sister Baker? There we go. That's the Scots. You know, they had to make up their own religion. All funny looking blocks. All funny looking blocks. What are you supposed to be? Funny looking block. Not to him. I'm glad it's funny looking. Amen? Because if we could figure it out, then this would be something that man did. This is supernatural. Oh my. Cutting them out of the Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all funny looking blocks. But one of these days, the Holy Ghost will come, that rejected cornerstone, and the building will go together without a murmur. One of these days, just exactly, the stone that's been rejected as the chief cornerstone. You builders of these denominations, remember that. The rejected stone is the chief cornerstone. And he says, he's here tonight. I believe him. And I'll say tonight, he's here tonight. And I believe him. He says, we're united then as one. We won't fuss no more then. We won't argue no more then. We'll act like men. We'll dress like men. We'll dress like women, sons and daughters of God. Our character, our conduct, our faith will prove. When God says anything, we'll say amen to it. If the Bible says for us to do certain things, we'll do it. We won't argue back. We'll just go and do it. That's what God wants us united under. Oh, how we ought to act in this present day. Now, friends, you know, let's don't get things twisted around. The reason why we get upset, the reason why we get discouraged so much of the time is because we try to do this and we fall short. And then we want prayer, you know, and maybe we're ashamed to even ask for prayer, but you know, I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that. What you're struggling with is to get back into fellowship with him. Now, friends, this is for many, many people. So if you've heard these words this week, don't think this has anything to do with because it was spoken to you. It has to do with all of us. We think, oh, I got to quit this and quit that. No, just fall in love. And he will take those things from you. And you'll love him that much more because you'll know you didn't quit something. He took it from you. Quit trying to be good enough for God. Just come. Come as you are. You won't stay as you are. Come as you are. It's a love affair. Amen. The reason why we do other things is because we're crying out for him. And so we're trying to find some kind of satisfaction. Amen. But he's the only one that can satisfy. And when he satisfies, those other things will pale. Listen, friends, if I had no ice cream and you brought home a bucket of ice milk, I'd eat that. I would. I'd have a scoop of that and, you know, I'd find some watery chocolate sauce to pour over it or some other hypocrite sauce. I'd do it because I want a chocolate sundae. Right? But if you, the next day you come home and there's ice milk there and you bring home some dryers or briars or Tom and Jerry's or whatever, right? And I get a taste of that. I'll never eat that hypocrite. I'll never eat ice milk again. Because I got the revelation. Oh, ice cream. I get it. It tastes like cream. Hallelujah. Amen. So a person can only come into this body by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Brother Baker, you emphasize that too much. I can't overemphasize it. It wasn't emphasized enough, and that's why we have trouble today. People joined. People conformed. People said, I believe God sent a prophet. All these different things, but they missed Christ. And when we are born into that body, we surrender our rights to Christ. Gladly. We don't live for ourselves, but we live for the benefit of others in the body. Those that are living for themselves, they end up the most miserable people. These people take no thought for themselves because they have confidence that Christ will supply their every need. And he does. And the best thing you can do to when you got a problem is do something for somebody else. Because now you're not even thinking about your problem. And God will take care of it. Hallelujah. Sometimes we just need to get our eyes off of our own situation. Because we look at it and we think, oh, it'll never change, impossible. Just quit looking at it. It's like watching a pot of water, waiting for it to boil. Quit staring at it. Go do something else. It'll boil. So they have full confidence in their God-led pastor. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and emphasize that. Because if you don't, then what are you doing here? This isn't a club. And it surely isn't have it your way. It's not even have it my way. It's have it his way. And that's what we all want. So they have full confidence in their God-led pastor and in what God is doing in the local body. And they know that this is God's provided way. And they fully trust him to see them through. No matter what takes place on the right, no matter what takes place on the left, no matter what goes through the church. And they know that just because somebody comes to the local church and sits down for a while, that does not mean they've been baptized into the body of Christ. We want everybody to be baptized in the body of Christ, but everybody's not going to be. So their confidence, these people that are part of a body, their confidence is not in numbers. Their confidence is not in the political winds or carnal comforts, but their comfort is in him. John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He's your comfort. Yet a little while, the world seeth me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you shall live also. And at that day, which Brother Branham said is this day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. How are we in him? This is his body. The bride body of Christ. We are in him, and he is in us. He that hath my commandments, that's his word, and keepeth them. You can't do this, but if you have him in you, he'll keep his word. He it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That's the church of the firstborn. That's the church of the living God. That's the body of Christ. So the treacherous part tonight, friends, and please don't anybody think tonight that I've got somebody in mind. You know, that's a demon that came from another church. And none of you are demons. But it's a demon that comes from another church. Well, you know, he's pointing that right at me, or he's pointing it right at you. Actually, to begin with, if it bothers you, it is for you. But it wasn't my thinking. And if you really believe that, then why are you here? Because he said he will guide you and lead you. He said he will speak to you. And friends, we ought to testify more. We need to give more and more testimonies. Because I hear it all the time. Brother Baker, I was just reading this scripture, and then this is what came out. And Brother Andy's prayer, you'll see how that just fits right in. It was perfect. He had no idea what direction, but you'll see how it fits in here tonight, if you were paying attention. So, and every part of the service is important. The song leaders, they pray over the songs, and they're led. You know, sometimes it just seems like a light thing, maybe, even to them, but they're being led. God's using them. So the treacherous part is making sure that we truly get baptized into this body. And we need to quit struggling. We just need a little more repentance is all. And a little less of us trying and a little more of us believing. Amen. We each hear the word. And at some point, we're convicted by it. You know, and it's usually not until, really, truly, friends, it's usually not until you're 11, 12, 13, somewhere around there, you come to what is called the age of accountability. Right? You accept it mentally. You hear it in Bible school. You hear it from mom and dad. You hear it in church, this and that. And in your mind, you think, well, you know, I need to get baptized, or I need to do this or that. But the time to get baptized is when you know you're a sinner. It's when you're convicted. It's when you realize, I'm lost without you. I need you, Lord. Because then you're being drawn. And we don't need to get nervous, moms and dads. We don't need to get nervous and get the car. Well, you know what? What would happen? They'll go to heaven. That's what will happen. They're not accountable until they're accountable. But when they're accountable, when God draws. That's why so many of us got baptized three or four times, myself included. Right? Because the church drew, or this drew, or that drew, or we mentally, and that's all right. I'm not, you know, you'll have to be the judge of that, but I'm just trying to give you a little bit of wisdom. Amen. When God calls you. How many can remember when God called you? When he called you, oh my, you just wanted to get right. You wanted to surrender, and you felt a big load come off, and you said, I want to get baptized. Hallelujah. So we hear that word, and at some point we're convicted by it, and we cry out to God, and we repent of our sin. This church joining nonsense is poison. Let God draw you. You can't come unless he draws you. Amen. And then we cry out, we repent, and then he gives us a new spirit. It's not the Holy Spirit. It's a new spirit, though. It's a new nature. And he sanctifies us. He begins to take things. They just start falling off because we're just so in love with them. And he says, you know, I really don't like this, and that's not good for you. And you say, oh, amen, Lord, and it drops off. And then you realize, wow, you're right, Lord. That had me bound, and I didn't know it. Thank you for setting me free. Keep me from it, Lord. We feel better. We look better. We have new friends. We have a new church family. And it's wonderful. But we need to go further than that. And too many stop right there. All those things are good. And we need to do it soon. You see, we're cleaned up at that point. And we're set aside for service. But we haven't yet been put into service. We've been emptied out. And our house is swept and cleaned. We're sanctified, squeaky clean. But a house is made to be lived in. It's made to be occupied. It's made to be filled. And if we remain empty and we don't seek to be filled, the spirits that once haunted us, they're going to come back to check on us. Amen? And if they find the house is empty, They will go and they'll bring seven more spirits and they will move into the house. And the last condition is worse than the first condition. Well, friends, it's just New Testament. A person becomes religious because religious devils are what's moving in this hour. And the next thing you know, they've got issues with the church. And they've got issues with the pastor. And they want to become the head. And they want to do this. And they want to do that. And they find fault with this one. And they find fault with that one. And they lose all confidence in God to lead them. And to lead their God-called pastor. Well, I thought that was the right church. And I thought he was a man of God. Well, is he preaching anything that's wrong? No, but I don't like his spirit. Well, maybe it's your spirit that isn't right. Because how is God going to vindicate that? Oh, my. So they haven't been baptized into the body. And so they're still just containers of salt or containers of flour. And they want to take their salt or their flour and go somewhere else. And they still retain their rights. And they still want to decide how things ought to be done in the body because they haven't died out to themselves. And they will look for others that are also not baptized into the body. And they will form political alliances with them. And it won't be to build up, but it'll always be to tear down. God never tears down. Amen. Amen. Except your first birth. He tears you down. You die out. Then he builds you up. And it won't be built up, but torn down. So if the rest of the body is born again of the Spirit, they will eventually leave that body. And they will toss grenades in the doorway as they go out. Now, friends, we've had it happen over and over and over the years. There's a way to leave right, and there's people that have left right. And so don't, you know, we're not one of these churches that, well, you know, we're the only ones that are right, and you got to be here, and you'll go to hell if you leave. That's not what we're saying at all. But if you leave and stay home, something's wrong. Yet many were rescued from stay-at-home church or from the world. And they've heard things they've never heard before. And they've been set free from so many things. And they were ministered to by so many in the body. But now they can no longer stand to be part of the body. That's the danger of not getting filled. Because you will get filled. You won't stay empty. Amen. They get another spirit from one that rules in the local body, from the one that's ruling in the local body, and that spirit will lie about the pastor. That spirit will lie about the church. That spirit will lie about church members, and it will seek to divide and to destroy. And it's from the pits of hell. And I never mention a person once, because it's a devil. We can all get a wrong anointing on us a time or two. Amen? But we'll repent. Let me say it this way. We've all had a wrong anointing on us a time or two. Just ask my wife. No, don't. Hallelujah. It's just plain and simple. You got to be born again to be part of the body. Otherwise, you won't fit. So, and yet the Lord brought them to this church body. And to the pastor. He's the greatest thing since sliced bread. Now, some of you are thinking I'm talking about your relative. Several people have said that. So get off of it. Get over it. Yet the Lord brought him. Well, then what Lord brought him out? Come on, friends. Don't get mad at me. We're one body. We work things out. We're a family. You're not your own anymore. You're part of a body. That person next to you is still your brother. Still your sister. Yeah, they're going to step on your toes now and then, and you'll step on theirs. But didn't that happen at home? I mean, that's what home life's all about, right? Didn't we learn anything at home? There are times we even threatened to kill one another. We didn't, thank God. Yet let somebody pick on one of our family members. So every church is affected this way. Every church. Yes, the one you haven't been to yet. It's still affected that way. Don't look for Mecca. That's Muslim. And that's not perfect either. Every church is affected this way. It's supposed to be. Because there's a mixed multitude. Listen to this. Listen closely. There's a mixed multitude that follows every ministry. And God proves those that are His, and He proves those that aren't. And we don't want anybody to leave. But people will leave. Some will leave right, and some will leave wrong. Those that aren't part of the body, nobody's forcing them to be part of the body. It's a choice. God's not forcing them. And every ministry has to come to the place where it passes through the hall of critics. And none of us like it. Just before God crowns that minister will be lied about. That he'll be mistreated. He'll be misspoken of. And search the scriptures and see if it isn't so. All the way through. Brother Branham came to the crowning of his ministry. Look at all the lies they said about him. But that ministry and that body will persevere. And God will crown it. And God will glorify that body and that ministry. And He will thoroughly and has thoroughly vindicated that ministry to be of Him all along. And of Him alone. Well, praise the Lord. But get rid of that ram goat spirit. There's no buts about it. You know, seek God. And say, God, where's this place at? And then go there. And put your shoulder behind it. I trust that it's here. But if not, it's somewhere. Hallelujah. So, I don't have time to read all the different quotes, but I just get a... Brother Branham said, they will find no fault with her teachings. Right? For she has, thus saith the Lord. I'm speaking of this body. Who's the final voice in the final age? Listen, friends, you're not gonna set one against another. You're just not gonna do it. God's bringing this body together, and once it's mixed together, it can't be separated. Only God can separate it, and He's not going to. So they will find no fault with their lives, for the Holy Spirit is able to keep them. They're not better than anybody else. They've got flesh like everybody else. They'll have to say, I'm sorry. Amen? But they won't be living immorally. And you will not find fault with how they are led to do things. But if people are finding fault with personalities, if they're finding fault with natures after the flesh, if they're finding fault with, well, I wouldn't have done it this way, or I wouldn't have done it that way, that's all flesh. Right? And that's because the accusers are walking after the flesh and not after the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you're not talking about the flesh. We all got it, right? As Balaam pointed out the backside of Israel, and Israel had a backside, so will those that stumble and fail to be born again of the Spirit. But the shout of the king is in the camp. The pillar of fire is in the camp. The water from the smitten rock is in the camp. The brazen serpent is in the camp for healing and so forth. He's in the camp. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Look, friends, shake off any funny feelings here tonight. Just shake free. I believe you're all believers, and I'm going to believe that. Listen to this. Brother Branham says again, that's the way it is with the true born-again experience of God. Man says there's no such thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It shows that he hasn't got it. He trusts his creeds. We trust what God said. Now what happens? You can't stand neutral. Listen to this. You can't stand neutral. You've got to be filled with something to survive. Notice you might be filled with one thing over another. You say, well, Brother Branham, I'm kind of on a fence. No, you're not. The Bible plainly says that all that was not sealed with the Holy Ghost received the mark of the beast. All that didn't have the seal of God in their forehead had the mark of the beast. You've got one of it now. I'd like to test it just a little bit and see where we're standing, he says. I wonder how many would put up with this tonight if he was preaching this. Oh, the mark of the beast, remember, It's a religious mark. Certainly it is. And you might be filled with religion. You could have all kinds of religion. That doesn't save you at all. You can be just a religious fanatic if you want to be. Touch not, taste not, handle not, smell not. That's that holiness for the sake of holiness spirit. Oh, we don't do this and we don't do that. And, right? We don't read our Bible after the... We don't talk in the bathroom. So? But have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Is your confidence in your works or is it in Him? Come on, friends. I'm going to beat this thing till it's black and blue tonight. We want all of our trust to be in Him. When we fully surrender to Him, it's not us anymore. And that takes away so much of our struggles. It's not us trying to do it. It's us letting Him do it. It's us trusting Him to do what He said He was going to do. You can't say, well, I'll just wait and see. You got to surrender. He says, I'd like to test that a little bit. He says, that doesn't have one thing to do with the Holy Ghost. He says, you might be filled with a bunch of malice. You might be filled with a bunch of prejudice, so full that you can't even sit and hear one sermon preached. I've seen people get that way. How can you think that you're all right and you can't sit and hear the word preached? You might be filled with a lot of hatred. You despise everybody that doesn't agree with you. You might be filled with a lot of nonsense too. You might be filled with a lot of Arthur Godfrey dirty jokes. So much that you think so much of that you won't go to church on Wednesday night or something. He didn't say that, Brother Dutch. Strike it from the record. Take it off. He didn't say it. He didn't mean it. He said it. I want to show you how important this is by the end of the message. You might be filled with Elvis Presley's rock and roll. That's true. You're filled with something. And your own life bears you record what you're filled with. By their fruits you shall know them. You're filled with something. Something's going to happen here tonight. You might be filled with a bunch of laziness, just too lazy to do anything about it. Oh my. Man, he just takes all of our excuses away, don't he? I'll deal with that sometime. Well, you don't have to be that way. Isn't that wonderful? That's the wonderful thing. This isn't condemnation. This is get up. Don't stay that way. You don't have to be that way. Christ died that you might be cleansed from all of these things. You might be filled with a bunch of creeds. You might be filled with a bunch of denominations, but God don't want you filled with that. God made a place in there to put Himself in. God wants you to be filled with Him. He says, what takes place when you're filled with God? When you're filled with God, you're filled with the Holy Ghost. You're filled with power. You're filled with love. You're filled with joy. You're filled with peace. You're filled with long-suffering. These aren't just something for some people. This is for you. With goodness, with meekness, with gentleness, with worship. You're filled with joy. David said, my cup runneth over. And if David had a cup running over before the Holy Ghost come, what would it do now? You're filled with something, he says. And when you're filled with man's ideas, if you're filled with churchianity, you're filled with creeds, you're only building yourself a Babylon that's going to fall. If you fill yourself up with the modern world, if you fill yourself up with lust, if you fill yourself up with pride, if you fill yourself up with denomination, you're lost. There's only one way to endure, and that's to put the original thing that God made that compartment in your heart to be filled with, and that was the Holy Ghost. How many believes that tonight? Listen to this. Oh, how wonderful. How glorious. I know that He's present. How wonderful. How glorious. I know that He is present. Oh, I wish you felt like I do. I know you think, I may look silly, but I'm not. You may think that I don't know where I am, but I do. Oh, it's the Spirit of the living God. Some of you sit in the back all the time. Now, if you've got children, I get it. I'm praying for you. It's the ox age. But there's more for you. Am I picking on anyone? I'm trying to help. Hallelujah. It makes a difference. You don't all have to be on the front row, but we could put some more chairs up here, I suppose. There is something to proximity. There's a lot less distraction up here, I can guarantee you that. What's going on behind you, Brother Augie? A couple of amens, I suppose. That's about it, right? Praise the Lord. Sometimes we got to just do something. Amen. Sometimes just change seats. Whatever. God will take that and do something with it. Brother Henry, that's not your seat. It's up here. Brother Henry is world famous. Because people have been listening to some of our sermons and they want to know who this Brother Henry is. Well, he's the guy that was pulling. Hallelujah. He says, there's just something, the joy bells of glory is just set in on me, he says. I never had that happen like that. He says, there's something, I know there's coming a time, he says. There's coming something that's going to take place. I see it in the near future. The Spirit of the living God falling fresh on his church. There's going to be something take place. The vision never fails. He's seen it. There's going to be something take place. I hear the sound in the mulberry bushes. Something just spoke to my heart and said, fear not, preacher. There'll be one of these. There'll be one of these days. So, the ministry's, we got to get together. We got to get together. We got to get together. He says, settle down. There'll be one of these days. Fear not, preacher. There'll be one of these days. They'll believe. It may take persecution and things to drive us together, but God will drive his church together just as certain as I'm standing in this pulpit under one, and that's Christ. Christ will be the head. No denomination will be the head. Christ will be the head of every believer. Hallelujah, he says. He says, don't get scared at hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise our God. He's worthy of every praise that we can give him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Avila came up for prayer. Her husband came up. Augie came up. She wasn't really looking for herself, but God did something for her on Sunday night. Amen. She's living for other people right now. Amen. She's going through things you're not going through. But I haven't heard one complaint. I haven't heard one gripe. She's not quitting the church. She's doing what she's supposed to do, and God's mindful of her. I about got knocked on my feet when that presence came down on Sunday night. Hallelujah. When the church holds elections for deacons and so forth, it's not under the spirit of democracy. Now, this is education here tonight, okay? God leads the pastor as he prays and he looks to see who's qualified to serve. He looks to see who God chooses and he looks to see whether or not they're ready to serve. And then that person is brought before the body and the body votes, but not as the world votes. Because remember, we now have the same spirit. And so we will have one voice. Amen. The body is now confirming what the Holy Spirit has decided. And in the unlikely case that someone is chosen that is not qualified by the word, the Spirit through the body will speak. And it's there to protect the body. Amen. Brother Branham said when the church votes, the majority vote is the will of the Spirit. And people carnally read that and they say, oh, it's a democracy. No, it isn't. We have the same Spirit. And the church is not anybody. The church is born again of the Spirit of God. And that's because born again members all have the same spirit. Someone said here, I'm tired of this. We don't get time to study. You know, it's just put before us and we're supposed to vote. Yeah, you're not supposed to go and think about it. This isn't reasoning. What does the Spirit tell you? It doesn't take a month to find out. Either your spirit bears witness or it don't. And those that vote differently, what they show is that they have a different spirit and they're hearing a different voice. Now, I didn't un-Christianize them. either because they aren't born again or because they aren't prayed up and they aren't in fellowship with the Spirit of God. But we can get prayed up. Brother Branham said, you know, he talked about that little room and people prophesying, and he said, you know, and things coming forth, and he said, write it out and, you know, confirm it back there in that little room, judge it and two or three and whatever, and put it on the pulpit. He says, if it doesn't come to pass, bring all those people to the altar and pray that spirit off of them. Not tar and feather them, kick them out of the church, call them evil and devils. No, they're still gifted sons and daughters of God, but somehow they allowed a wrong spirit to get amongst them. Pray the spirit off. Hallelujah. Otherwise, the body is in one mind and one accord. So it's never the choosing of the people. It's the choosing of the Holy Spirit. It's the Lord's choosing. When two people are married, there's an opportunity that's given. If anybody can somehow bring forth any reason why these two cannot lawfully be joined together in holy matrimony, speak now or forever hold your peace. Thank God hardly anybody speaks up. Or maybe they should speak up more often. I don't know, one way or the other. Because look at how many marriages fail. So it's given as an opportunity, right? But most of the time, amen? And every local body has to have a leader. Now, we understand this in every other setting except church, right? Those of you that run your business, you don't want somebody telling you what to do. You get it. Well, who do you think you are? I'm running this business. Yeah, right. Same way in church. Got to have a leader. Otherwise, it's a democracy. Otherwise, it's Laodicea. And we know where that goes. So, every local body has to have a leader, and that's the pastor. That's God's idea. And if we don't believe this, we should go somewhere else. Because this is not up for discussion. It's thus saith the Lord. And if that bothers you, you need to get to prayer because you got a different spirit. This is the way he does it. And every born-again son or daughter of God agrees with this. And every born-again son or daughter of God is confident in this. And they are confident in where they are placed because they've prayed about it. They've been led to go where they're going. They're confident in who their pastor is. And they're confident that their pastor is ordained to see them through. They know he's not perfect. And they pray for him. But this is his work. Amen. So when people criticize, I want you to listen close tonight. When people criticize, they're criticizing God, not man. This is God's work. Well, hallelujah. Listen to this. Brother Bram says, now remember this. Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. But the book of Revelation shows how the Antichrist spirit would come into the church, defile it, making it lukewarm, formal, powerless. It exposes Satan, revealing his works, the attempted destruction of God's people, and the discrediting of God's word, right down to the time he's cast into the lake of fire. He fights that. He cannot stand it. He knows. I want you to say that tonight. He knows. He knows. He knows that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. If they get the true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit. That means we have to face the Antichrist spirit. It means it has to come against us. Satan will be powerless before her. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. But we will prevail over them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Then again, I'm winding down here in just a moment. He says, this is a choosing time. You cannot stand neutral any longer. You may leave before this message is over, but you can't go out the door the same person you come in. That's right. You'll cross that threshold tonight, either a better person or a more evil person than you were when you entered. You can't help it. It's up to you to make a decision. We make a decision every time we come to church. It's up to you to make a decision. Now notice, it's choosing time. You cannot be neutral. It's a choosing time. You must choose you this day whom you're going to serve. And the devil has presented many things glamorous that you can choose if you wish to. You can't remain the way you are because you've got to be. He says, just recently I could feel the Spirit in the meeting. And you all who are sending your letters in an apology of the first night or two to believe that it was some kind of a mental setup. So Brother Brennan went through two services where people were, you know, thinking bad thoughts. But it showed that Christ was dealing with them because they wrote letters. And they said, I'm sorry. I was, you know, thought it was telepathy or a mental setup. He says, you're convinced, sure. And I forgive you. God does too. And the Lord bless you. Amen. Friends, if you apologize for something, we have to forgive. And we want to. Every one of us. Because we don't want anything held against us. Hallelujah. I'm proud to be part of this body. God does too. And the Lord bless you, certainly. And now, when the meeting's going on, an evil spirit in the meeting, that spirit is almost harmless. Almost harmless until it can catch somebody that it can work through. Then when it can work through it, it'll certainly do damage because it's an evil spirit. And the Holy Spirit is here trying to find somebody to work through. And when it finds somebody to work through, it can do good. See? Two spirits. Didn't I just read to you about the two spirits working in the... Their motives, their objectives, watch how it is. Watch their works. Watch their fruits. Then you can see what spirit is on you. He says you're motivated by a spirit. If you have no spirit, you're dead. If you have a spirit, it motivates your life. And if your life bears the fruit of a Christian, it's a Christian spirit. Now you may be filled. Now watch this evil spirit. When he goes out, he walks in dry places hunting to find a place to rest. And the Bible said he could not find it. So he says, I'll return back where I come out of. And he goes back to this person that he was once in. And he finds the house all swept, cleaned up, sanctified. All condemnation is gone. Oh, just a real happy believer. But it's empty. And he said, come here. And seven other spirits worse than he was. Will you please try to get this, he says. And I say tonight, will you please try to get this? Friends, I had a young man that worked for me at Raytheon that used to go to this church, and I helped him. He got in a program to further his education. They wanted to kick him out because his grades were falling. I went to bat for him and stood for him. He decided when disbelieve the sign came out that he was going to disbelieve it, and he became an expert on everything that's wrong with the message. And he got together with Bill and Tamara Foltz and turned them because Bill never got filled. Now, I'm mentioning names here tonight because we all know this. Bill can still get filled. We did have to repent and come, but Bill hated me after that. He hated me. This same person talked to my son-in-law, Virgil, convinced him. Where's my family at tonight? I'm still claiming them. They're going to be back, but this is real. And because you don't see me going around pouting doesn't mean I'm not in the battle. I went to Brother Joel's graduation. Yeah, he graduated. They let you out. his retirement party. And none of the women would talk to me. Not one of them. And yet I had favor with all of them for 14 years. Not one of them would talk to me. Why? Because the same person said that I'm a woman hater and I got a religion where, you know, women are slaves or whatever. Whatever it is that these disbelieve the signers say. Right? This is very, very real. And that's what happens if you don't get the right spirit. And you'll be seven times worse. This is the truth. He says, now you may be filled. Now watch this evil spirit. When it goes out, he walks in dry places, hunting a place to find. The Bible said he couldn't find it. So he says, I will return back to where I come out of. He goes back to this person that he was once in, and he finds the house all swept, cleaned up, sanctified, all condemnation gone. Oh, just a real happy believer. But it's empty. And he said, come here. And seven other spirits, worse than he was. He says, will you please try to get this? The Bible said that's the truth. Jesus said it's the truth. He comes back to this house. A man who's confessed Christ to be his Savior has got rid of his wickedness, quit his drinking, quit his smoking, quit his lying, his stealing. He's become sanctified, cleaned out. We know many that fall in this category. I was in this category for years. In and out, in and out, in and out. His house is all swept. He feels free. So he comes back and he finds that house. Then he goes and gets seven other spirits worse than he was. And he comes into this person, and the Bible says the last estate of the man is seven times worse than it was at the beginning. He says, now what just happened? An evangelist comes through. They preach repentance. I know I'm reading a lot tonight, but I want you to see that I'm not making this up. You can't hardly preach this anymore. It just sounds so hard. If I just preach it, it sounds hard. This is where I'm getting it from. And this is pretty light. They preach repentance. You clean up from your sins. And then when you're cleaned up, the devil goes away from you. You take your things back that you stole. You go and confess your wrongs to your wife or your husband. You really clean up. And then the thing of it is, you're just clean and you make a real good target for the devil. Now, after the people believed and was baptized, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It wasn't a big, long delay. Now, if there's been a delay, it's not too late. Don't let the devil lie to you tonight. Tonight's your night. Let me just go ahead and say it. Tonight's your night. There's some of you tonight that are candidates for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I see you straining and worrying and flexing and pushing. Just let go. Tonight's your night. If this is the God of the Bible, let him confirm his word, and he will. It's the truth. If we preach it and you believe it, God's obligated. When I quit struggling, he filled me. But I didn't know I was struggling. But when I quit struggling, he filled me. They preach, you go confess your wrongs, your wife, you really clean up, then the thing that is, you're just clean, make a real good target for the devil. Now, after the people believed and was baptized, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That's God's divine program. Now, if you're filled with the world, when you get saved, you might be filled with good thoughts and so forth. But unless you're filled with God, God sent the Holy Spirit to the earth to motivate the church. Amen. And you might be filled with thoughts. You might be filled with theology. You might be filled with education. A know-it-all. And you might be filled with religion and still be a target of the devil. That's right, he says. God made you a place that could be emptied. And now you can't just polish up the old life. You can't give the old life a facelift. She's got to die. A new life be born in her. Sister Loopy, you've been with us about as long as anybody. I'm still preaching the same thing, aren't I? She don't need some manicure. Or what it is that you put on your lips. And what women do, you know, to make them look better. She don't need a hair curling. She don't need lip stuff. The church needs a birth and a filling of the Holy Ghost. With her hair curled up and her lips painted, she's still the same old girl. She still is a doubter and has her doubts. She has her fears. She's got herself all scrupled up and she don't want to hear the truth because that's the thing within her won't let her do it. Did you hear that? That thing in her won't let her do it. That's right, certainly. A woman of ill fame on the street, you walk up and tell her, why, hey woman, you're wrong. She'll say, tend to your own business. Some stiff-necked church member is seven times worse than that woman. Wow. How do you really feel, Brother Branham? Tell her, there's a great revival going on. You should come down. The Lord Jesus has manifest himself, healing the sick. People are so forth, receiving the Holy Spirit. Go on. What's the matter with you? I belong to church. I'm as good as you are. Why, she don't know any better. But you speak to a decent woman and tell her it's wrong to do that. And she'll say, amen, I know it's wrong. And you tell a man or a woman that's born again of the Holy Spirit of God that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is here for them to fill their hearts, and they'll holler, amen. For they feed on the and live on the Word of God. Friends, there's some that need to be filled here tonight. There's some, all of us need a refilling. Amen? We just need a good scouring out. It's so hard to hold a grudge. It's so hard to have any kind of an issue or a problem. When that Holy Spirit comes in, that oil just gets in there and works and tenderizes things. And we can't live without it. We need Him. The Holy Ghost is here for them to fill their hearts, and they'll holler amen to it, for they feed on and live on the Word of God. Certainly they do. But you see, as it is in the world, so is it in the church. They're trying to build something. God don't need your help to build His kingdom. God just wants you to preach the Word. He'll do the building. He's the architect. He's got the plans laid out here. How many believes that tonight? He says, all right, what will we do then? God made you a place of to empty up of the things of the world. Now, nature put a spirit in there that makes you love the things of the world. That's all of us before we're born again. And you know you are wrong when you do that. Whether you're a church member, you may just be as religious as you can be and just as full of the devil with it. That's right. If you doubt the Word of God, every word of it to be true, it's a devil that's telling you that. Certainly it is. He says, that's rude, but it's time, it's high time that some little sissified preacher got his rubber gloves off and preached the gospel the way it's wrote and quit trying to petty around with some seminary experience. What is he trying to say? Come on, we're friends. You can tell us. When that spirit is there, it takes a hold of God's eternal word. And it calls everything contrary to it as though it wasn't. No matter what, it takes place. What the world says, what anything else says. Friends, God is the only one that's made difference in all of our lives here tonight. And He's done something for every one of you. Amen. All of you are better off than you were. Not because you're at this church, but because God has done it for you. When that spirit is in there, it takes a hold of God's eternal word. It calls everything contrary as though it wasn't. No matter what, what takes place, what the world says, what anything says, if God has made a promise, the man that's endued with that spirit will hold on to that promise of God, because there's nothing else in the way. The church is pure. The church is purged by the Holy Spirit. Their conscience is seared of doubt. Unbelief is taken away. And when they hear God's word say a certain thing, they believe it. Oh, they hold on to it. They just don't move from it. And the world today, my friend, is wanting to see people that's united with Christ to display the real, genuine Spirit of Christ, gallant heroes. You know your heroes? Amen. On the other side, they're going to greet you and say, I want to shake hands with that hero. Amen. In closing, I might say this. The world is wanting to see heroes. They honor heroes. That's good. The old saying is, cowards die a million times while heroes never die. I'm going to play for you if I can find. Where'd you put the microscope, Mike? Microscope. Microphone. Hallelujah. I want to play just a few minutes of this message, and I want you to listen, okay? I don't want to read it. I want to play it. That'll be okay? All right. All right. Is that the right one? Yeah. Yeah. I lost my spot here for just a second. You ready? Hallelujah. Oh my. There it is.
Where's the microphone?
speaker at on this, Ben? I know where the camera is. Oh. It probably don't matter. I'll just hold it here, huh? All right. I want you to listen close, okay?
Confess your sin right now. You say, well, I'm a Christian. Confess your unbelief. Tell Christ that you'll never disbelieve him again. Right now, you're accepting him. Right now, it's going to be over. You'll never go to complain about it anymore. No matter what it looks like, what it feels like, you're going to believe it. Because God said so.
Put yourself in there.
God said so. You come out of Babylon's tower. You come out in the valley. Where the lily of the valley is at. You come to the mountainside. Where the grace of God is flowing freely from the fountain of life. Confess your faults. Say, God, if you've done anything to somebody, say, I'll go back and make it right. Do that now. I want each one of you now, as I say this prayer, I want you to pray it. You say it out loud with me. I'm just going to say it, but you pray it from your heart. With your head bowed, eyes closed, everybody.
We wouldn't
don't raise
do
your
this,
head till I
do
say
it tonight,
so.
Okay?
I'm just looking to see what I can see. Say this behind me. Almighty God, creator of heavens and earth, author of everlasting life, giver of every good gift, be merciful to me, O God.
Be merciful to me, O God.
Forgive my unbelief.
Forgive my unbelief.
I believe the gospel.
I believe the gospel.
I believe that you're here.
I believe that you're here.
I believe that you're now performing your word.
I believe that you're now performing your word.
In my body.
In my body.
Open the channels.
Open the channel.
I empty out my unbelief.
I empty out my unbelief.
I receive your spirit.
I receive your spirit.
I believe that you're in me now.
I believe that you're in me.
I believe my sickness will vanish.
I believe my sickness will vanish.
How can death and life?
How can death and life?
Exist in my body.
Exist in my body.
When you're in there.
When you're in there.
I believe you.
I believe you.
And I accept you now.
And I accept you now.
As my healer.
As my healer.
Now keep your head bowed. That's your prayer. That's your prayer. Now I'm going to pray for you. Keep shut in. Keep shut in with God. Don't get nothing else on your mind now. He's right with you. Right there by your side. You say, I want the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham. All right, he's right there to give it. You say, I want healing in my eyes, Brother Branham. He's right there to give it. I want my baby healed. He's right there to do it. I want my brother and my mother. He's right there to do it. Right there.
Same one tonight.
Jehovah Jireh, the provided sacrifice.
Same one tonight.
Now I'm going to pray for you. The Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. God shall raise them up. If I found grace in your sight by the working of the Holy Spirit, I'll pray with all my heart right now that the Holy Spirit will witness to you that the work is finished. Oh God, my Father, I come in Jesus' name to pray for this people who has now honestly and sincerely have confessed their wrongs. Oh, blessed God, may this be a night that they'll
yes,
never forget. May the Holy Spirit come into every heart just now.
Yes.
And just move out all
yes,
everything and all the sickness
out.
From their body.
Yes,
I now challenge the devil to a debate.
Yes.
Satan,
bind every demon.
You are aware that you are whipped.
Christ.
You have no legal right.
You are whipped.
Jesus Christ, my Lord, stripped you of every authority you had when he yes. died at Calvary
That's
to take
right.
away sin and sickness. And you're nothing but a bluff. And we're calling your
yes.
bluff.
Amen.
You know that when our Lord came to the tree, he cursed the tree. The next day it was withering.
Yes.
And our Lord said to his disciples, have faith in God.
Yes.
For if ye shall say to this mountain, be moved.
Yes.
Don't doubt in your heart,
yes.
but believe what you have said is Father, coming to pass. You
That's
can
right.
have what you say.
That's right. Tonight.
Satan, you know the scripture on that.
That's right.
And I've just taught this people that God is in them.
Yes.
And if God is in them and they speak to that disease
That's right.
and say, be away from me
That's
and
right.
don't doubt in their heart, right then that disease faith has to move.
That's right.
For Christ said so. For
Amen.
It's not them that speak. It's the Father that dwells in them that's speaking.
Amen.
They're in need. So come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say as God's servant, by a message from an angel who anointed and has proved to the people that Jesus is here. And the message is right.
That's
so come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. I adjure you to leave every sick person and get into outer darkness in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you hear that?
Didn't show up. We didn't pick it up.
I'm sure you heard that.
Listen.
How many heard that great roar go through the building just then? That was it. Surely you won't doubt any longer. That was God speaking back. Can't you see?
The Spirit's here tonight, friends.
Rise. Do you believe you're healed? You believe that God answered prayer? Raise your hands to Him. Thank Him for it. It's over.
Hallelujah.
You're healed.
Amen.
Jesus said, if ye shall say, what is it? When you're out from Babylon, you're out from under unbelief, you're out from under superstitions, you're out from under all these things, and you're filled with God's own life, your voice is His voice.
You are.
You are. I spoke it in my room a while ago. God told me to do this. And here it is. He's confirmed it right now. Amen. And blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, what a time. That's the first time that's happened since South Africa. How long will you grope in unbelief? The wind swept through this platform here just now as the Holy Spirit crossed over here because it was a spoken word of God that did it. Amen. How many of you feel? Raise your hands. How many feel different in your body? Raise your hands.
Hallelujah.
That is, you are now healed by the glory of God.
Hallelujah.
All that feels different. If you couldn't move your arm, move it. If you couldn't hear out of your ear, stick your finger in your ear and listen. You can hear. If you couldn't walk, stand to your feet. If you're blind, take off your shades from your eyes. You can see.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit passed through this place just now in a confirmation of the Word. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A wind like went over the building. How many could feel that when it went through here? Raise your hands. Be honest with yourself. That wind that passed through the building, that's the Holy Spirit. Say it, and it shall be done. Like a great loving wind went right down across the earth. And I heard it as it crossed over the audience. You heard it and felt it too. It's His presence. All now that feel different. All now that feel that you're healed. All now that feels that Christ is in you. What was that? Just like the Holy Spirit come on the day of Pentecost. Come right down the wind that swept over here. How many is a witness of it? Raise your hand. Everyone, honest from your heart. There it is. It swept right through the building just then. It's the same Holy Ghost. The same Holy Spirit comes by the same word. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. All that believe that you're healed, stand on your feet. Everyone that believes that you feel different, if you're right now healed, stand on your feet.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's it. Amen. While you're waiting, as you begin to feel different, if you had a headache, if it's gone, stand up. If you were sick at your stomach, stand up if it's gone. Stand up as a witness. There you are. What does it do? It's the Holy Ghost that did it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Filled with His goodness. Oh,
Amen.
My. This is my story. This is my story.
Hallelujah.
Oh, don't you feel good? Praise. Oh, this is my song. Everybody, praise Him. I say, all the day long, this is my story. Oh, this is my song. Praise my Savior
all the day long.
Let's sing it again. Everybody, pick it up.
Hallelujah.
This is my story.
Hallelujah.
story. Oh, this is my song. Praising my Savior.
Hallelujah. Amen.
How does it feel to be healed? Wave your hands to him. How it feels to be healed? Just look at there. Tell me the devil ain't defeated. Certainly he is. Amen. He's wonderful. Oh my, give us a tune of wonderful, wonderful Jesus is to me. How many knows that song, Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus is to me? Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. All right, you know what he says? All right.
Wonderful, wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is he. For saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful, my Redeemer. Wonderful, wonderful, Jesus is to me. Oh, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is he. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer, praise.
For the benefit of there might be a doubter standing by, which I feel it in my heart now and against my spirit. Someone's thinking of that roar that went through just then was caused by a plane or something. God, who is my solemn judge? That spirit come across this platform and even fanned my coat by my side and roared out over that building right there. I felt it, seen it as it went out. How many is a witness? Now, the Bible said in the mouth of two or three witnesses. It's absolutely not. It's the Holy Spirit. You remember when Jesus was praying one time and there was a roar come from heaven? How many remembers that? And some of them said, oh, something thundered or something like that. That still skeptic spirit still is. But God still lives too. He's right here. The same rushing mighty wind that come down from heaven on the day of Pentecost is right here to witness that same thing again. God Almighty is the judge of all things. Amen. Do you love him? Praise the Lord. All right. Everybody reach over and shake hands with one another while we sing Wonderful again. You Methodists and Baptists make up now. All right.
Wonderful.
Oh, turn right around. Shake hands with everybody around.
Me, Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God is he. Oh, saving me, keeping me from all sin and shame. Oh, wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise his name.
Praise the Lord. You feel good now? All over, all doubts is gone. Wave your hands to him. It's all gone. All doubts is gone. Oh, my. Wonderful. Wonderful.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Anna, the Lord put you on my heart today. This is your night. Just don't struggle. Just let him. His presence is all over you. Hallelujah. Amen. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Brother Merritt, do you know where that's at in one of these books? I don't either. Hallelujah. Isn't that terrible? He used to just know these songs. It's blessed assurance. Yeah, you got to get the right name, right? Amen. His assurance is blessed, is it not? 176. Yeah. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. Amen. This is my story. This is my story. This
praising my Savior. My Savior.